Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermons at Grace Community Church to our lives as followers of Jesus. From time to time, we're also going to address other topics as it's helpful for us as we consider how to live our faith out in our world. Our desire and our hope is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Good afternoon. Today is March the 4th, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Hello, Justin Tucker.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm well. You emphasized my last name.
Yeah, because I messed it up the previous take, and so I figured I needed to really make sure I got it clear this time.
Well, it's me, and it's you.
Yeah, that's right.
Here we are.
That's right.
Good to see you.
It's good day, good weekend, and you know, just kind of recap, it's been such a good highlight for me personally, but we've had our Future Grace dinners, which is about our giving campaign, and just sweet moments of just hearing about the opportunity before us, but also just hearing about, you know, what we want to do for us in the future, like where we see ourselves. And it was great time.
Good.
And we had a good Sunday.
Yes.
And Isaiah 50. So, yeah.
Yes, we did. And they have been good dinners, and we have one more tonight.
That's right.
By the time people get this podcast, it'll be Tuesday, so the dinners will be over.
Right.
But yes, it's been a very good time of fellowship and vision casting and encouragement.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I want to do in this podcast is normally we cover the Sunday morning sermon, but I want to take a little bit of a break, or we thought it would be good to take a break, to talk about this phrase that you've talked about when you were in Isaiah 49, and you've been saying it in the Future Grace dinners.
Okay.
It's this idea of having a theological vision.
Okay.
So I want us to just park there for a little bit today.
Okay.
And I want us to ask, the first question is, okay, Scott, we hear about this. You've been saying theological vision, but what is this theological vision? Can you help us like get a good definition? I mean, I think you pointed it into chapter 49, but give us, like, if you could sum that up, how would you describe what is this theological vision?
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, it's vision. So what is vision? It's the ability to see. I wrote about this in a Words of Grace that I sent out a couple of weeks ago. I preached about it in 49, Isaiah 49. We've been talking about it over the weekend. So vision, number one, it's the ability to see. And sometimes it gets more specific and people say it's seeing a specific thing. So you have a vision. Do you have vision, the ability to see? Do you have a vision, a particular specific picture that you are seeing? Okay. What I'm saying is both. But first of all, to have theological vision is to be able to see, and then it's that's the vision, and it's to be able to see theologically, or to see what God is doing.
Okay.
What God intends to do, what God's purposes are.
Okay.
So to have theological vision is to be able to see what God has revealed.
Okay.
About himself, his purposes. I'm using it as, and I could say, back up, about God, who he is, his nature and his character.
Right.
I'm using it to talk about a theological vision for or of the church, which is now the ability to see, vision, what God, theological, wants for his church, and then our place in it.
Okay,
so that is theological vision, to see as God sees, as he is revealed in the Bible. And then a theological vision for the church is to see as God has revealed in the Bible his purposes for his church.
Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. So in particular, so when you're talking about his purpose and his plan, you're kind of going back to Isaiah 49, you're referencing this idea that he wants to bring people to himself to be redeemed, not only the remnant from Israel, but also a redeemed people from the nations to bring him glory.
That's right. So in Isaiah 49, a couple of weeks ago, I used that term theological vision a lot because it's the servant, one of the servant songs or servant passages in Isaiah. And the purpose of the servant in that chapter, Isaiah 49, is that he is the way back to God for God's people Israel. He's bringing them back through the servant, and then he's bringing in the other nations who come to faith in him. And we say this is Christ, okay, so that's important. So Christ is the way back to God for his people, the Jewish people. Christ is the way in to the people of God for the Gentile people. So that's the vision of God. That's why he sent. It's the purpose of God, why he sent Christ into the world. And so when we have theological vision, we see that's God's purpose. And we see that it's very specific. It's a theological vision, or the vision of why Christ came, to bring people to God. So that was there. And then we're just extending that language into a theological vision for church.
Good. So we're talking now, this is big, right? We're talking about his nature, his character, his purpose in the world, and his purpose for the church.
That's right.
That is this theological vision, as we see in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about this theological vision, Scott, and you've talked about, and now see your place in it,
mm-hmm.
what do you think about when you're thinking about seeing our place in this vision? Like, what are some things that go through your mind about what your hope is for that, mm-hmm. of like what that means, what that looks like?
Well, all right, let's first ask the question, what is the theological vision for the church?
Okay.
So let's start with the church,
okay.
God's people. You know, there's debate on when did the church start in Acts and that sort of thing. And I'm going to generically say here, we're talking about God's people in the world.
Okay.
So what is the purpose of God for that? And we could say many things, like number one, the purpose for God's people in the world is that God would have a people in the world who worship him,
mm-hmm.
who love him, who obey him, who follow him, who then become light to the other nations, to the rest of the world, about who God is, about his glory, his greatness, his grace. Mm-hmm. God wants a people. We could keep going in the New Testament and see that God then gathers those people into local congregations in time and place, and those congregations then live under God's rule, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, following Jesus, and then they are salt, light, witness to the way of salvation, the grace of God, the glory of God, and that God is then growing his church, increasing his church as his word goes out through his church, and more people are brought into relationship with God, into his people. Mm-hmm. And that continues to happen throughout history.
Yeah.
And that's what God is doing. So we can look all the way back in the Old Testament and say God had a vision for raising up Israel through Abraham. That was to be a light to the nations, to worship him, to glorify him, to be a light to the nations, through whom would come the Christ. We can go into the New Testament and mm-hmm. say the people of God are believers, Jews and Gentiles alike, in the church. God has a purpose that we worship him, that we make disciples, that we share the gospel, that we give testimony to Christ, and that more and more people come into God's people, the church, until God finishes all that with the new heaven, the new earth, the return of Christ. Okay, so that's the way it plays out in history.
Okay.
The first thing that we need to do, our place in, is just to understand that.
Okay.
This is why we are here.
Yeah.
And that means that's the overarching vision.
Right.
So that all the other things that we enjoy about church or maybe want for church, they might not necessarily be bad. They might be good.
Right.
But they need to come from that bigger vision.
Yeah.
Or we could say they need to come under that bigger vision. Mm-hmm. So we need to see it. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Another thing when we say finding ourselves in it is we need to understand that we're here by grace through faith.
Okay.
We get brought in.
To this vision.
To God's work, to God's vision for his people by grace through faith. And then I think another thing it means for us is to understand that not only are we in, but we participate.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
So I am a member of the church, the people of God, by grace through faith, but I'm also a member of the local congregation that's an expression of that called Grace Community Church. Mm-hmm. And I bring myself as a man in Christ. And then I bring all the good things that the Spirit is doing in my life with me, prayer, service, love, mm-hmm. the one another's of the New Testament. And all that to say, at the end of the day, you know, where that gets us is it gets us at a place where we're very stable.
Yeah.
We're stable in Christ, and we're stable with Christ's people in unstable times.
Yeah.
And so I'll stop. I've said a lot. That's like a whole sermon there, but you may have some more questions.
No, so what I'm hearing you say is our place in this vision, as we understand that what God's vision is for the church, that the first thing we do is we just see that and understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we understand that we're in there by grace through faith,
mm-hmm.
and then we participate in it.
Yeah.
I like that. I like even that, Scott, that I think that first step is probably the most important.
It is.
But just the seeing and understanding it.
Yeah.
Because that almost, that flows into the next two, right?
It does. So, and it's very practical. It's
right.
very practical. It answers the question, why?
Right, yeah.
Why do I go to church?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if people do this, but I would encourage them to rehearse this.
Yeah.
Why am I getting up on a Sunday morning and going to my congregation to worship God?
Yeah.
It must be driven by a bigger vision than because they got a good program for me.
Right.
It must be driven by I go because I have been brought in by God's grace into his people. I go because God deserves to be worshiped by a congregation.
Hmm.
I go because God is building up spiritually healthy people, edifying the saints, and I contribute with my love and my prayers.
Yeah.
I go because God's people are there. The Spirit, the Word, the church is there.
Yeah.
I go because I'm a part of a community that gives testimony to the greatness and the glory and the grace of God through Jesus.
Yeah.
That's practical.
Yeah, that's totally practical.
I mean, that should be rehearsed.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night.
Yeah.
And every Sunday morning, and then all throughout the week.
Yeah.
I meet with my small group during the week because I belong to this group by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This group edifies each other in the faith so we can live in the world. Now, when you think that way, that kind of thinking it gives endurance, it gives patience, it gives joy, it gives stability, you know, it gives energy.
Mm. Yeah, because I was thinking that piece about patience and endurance, because the church is made up of flawed sinners. I mean, we are redeemed by grace, but we're still struggling with indwelling sin, and so there might be times where the program is bumpy, or and it's like, okay, but let's remember why we're here.
Yeah, the personalities clash.
Right.
The programs are good, but sometimes they fail, or they don't deliver like we wanted them to.
Yeah.
Decisions get made that are challenging.
Yeah.
We might even look around and think, you know, I don't really have a lot in common with these people socially.
Right.
Well, we say, okay, there's nothing wrong with being around people that you enjoy.
Yeah.
But is that the glue?
Right.
Or is Christ the glue? Yeah. I heard a story. I wish I could remember where I read this. Where I heard it. I really don't. I just remember years ago, decades ago, reading about, there was a woman who was writing a book or an article. Again, I've forgotten where I got this, but she said that she attended a church.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small church in a Western state. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And she described the church. It was small. The singing was, you know, not on key, you know, it wasn't a polished group of singers. They were, you know, folks that socially, my memory serves me, she was a writer and maybe thought differently.
Yeah.
Had more education than the people in the church. And so she was kind of socially different than the people in the church. But she said this, and it stuck with me. She said, I show up to my church because those are God's people, and I belong to them.
Hmm.
And when I heard that, maybe that was the beginning of my understanding of this theological vision. This person went in with a theological vision.
Yeah,
This is an expression of God's people, a local congregation. They have the Spirit, the Word, and each other.
Hmm.
They follow Jesus Christ, and I belong to them.
Yeah.
And that kept her. Mm. I just thought that was powerful.
That's
never forgotten that.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
That's just one example of all the ways that this kind of thinking.
Yeah.
And then I explained in the dinners that we've had over the weekend that I think that would be helpful. I'm not trying to get on people's case.
Right.
I'm really not. I just did. I've looked around the past few years, and I've seen so many things that have caused people to either not return to church after the disruption we've been through the past few years, or, you know, it's okay to find another church. I know people go to other churches, right, and that's fine. But I think sometimes they were going for maybe they're all over Nashville, you know, people just jumping around, but mainly not going at all. That's the thing. And I thought, if there's a, I think there's a gap in just a theological vision and a deep Bible based, revealed by God understanding of what we are really all about as the church.
Yeah. I'm even hearing you say too, like, if you're not intentional to rehearse that in your mind, how easy it is to make the reason why you go to church and are part of a church about something that's so much far lesser than that theological vision.
Yes.
And not that they're bad things, right? It's good to want to be connected.
So let's have a little discussion about that. This may go a little longer today, and it's okay, but let's talk about that. Certainly there are there are things that weigh into our decision about what church we go to.
Yeah.
And they can have things to do with practicalities of life.
Right, yeah.
You know, how can I get there? Is it close enough to get there?
Yeah.
You know, is there anybody that my children want to relate to? You know? I mean, so I got to be careful. Yes. Mm-hmm. There are things. And then sometimes we have, let's take it a bump up and say, well, sometimes we'll make a decision based on whether or not the sermon is actually from the Bible.
Right.
And okay, that's a legitimate thing to do.
Right, yeah.
So I don't want to say that there's never a time when we don't make decisions based on practical considerations.
Right.
Of course there are.
Right.
But I'm not really addressing that issue with this. I'm really addressing the issue of the unsettledness that has kind of come across a lot of people and the discontentment and the disengagement that has come across. That maybe, I would just say, maybe we have an opportunity to say, do we have a theological vision that not only keeps us steady in the church, but keeps us together
as
a church. So look around at Grace, and you know, we've had a lot of movement like all the churches have. We have a lot of new people, praise the Lord. How fun is that?
That's great.
And it's just a good time to regroup and say, let's make sure we're renewing our vision of why we're here and what we're about as a local church.
Last question is that often people will go into a church and I'll hear this question, but what is your vision as a church?
Or
churches will have on their website, this is our vision.
Yeah.
So my question is, so I'm hearing this theological vision, and I don't see that as very specific to a local C. It's almost like for the big C, right? Mm-hmm. So is it wrong for a church to have a vision, like a specific vision for their local congregation, or thoughts about that?
Okay. Well, that now you're tapping into what I wrote about, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and that is that as a young pastor, when I first started, that was the big thing. It was, what's your vision for your church?
Right.
And so what you do is you look at your unique personhood, you look at your unique situation, your unique environment, and then you come up with something that is a unique and compelling way of articulating what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think there was an assumption that it was rooted in what God wanted, but I think over time, that assumption was lost,
right?
Or the reality of it was lost, and I think it's clear that we could say that there are some churches that just had it was more about being a unique church. Right. What do we do that's different than everybody else?
Right.
My personal feeling about this is that all congregations must first and foremost be rooted in the biblical understanding. We could say vision for the church as determined, revealed by Christ.
Right.
And the way to do that is to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. And then second, congregations can look around and say, are there unique opportunities in our context?
Right.
And if it goes in that order and that second part is rooted in the first part, you know, the unique is rooted in the revealed, then I would say, yeah, you could probably speak about the vision for a particular congregation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to be very careful, in my opinion, that we don't assume that we can create the vision for the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be what God wants for His church. It's His church.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is you saying we are rooted in this theological vision as a congregation, and our vision is directly tied to that and may play out in unique scenarios depending on where we're at and the opportunity before us, but it's not separate from theological vision.
That's the way I would put it.
Yeah.
And that specific local congregational vision just has more to do with maybe expressions,
right?
You know, what maybe you could do as an outreach in your community because it's a specific kind of, a certain kind of community.
Yeah, how to serve your people in the church, maybe specific where you're located and how you're, like you said, reaching out in that community.
Yeah, and who, what's the demographic of your church, and then how would you minister to them in that way? That kind of thing. But it doesn't start there. Mm-hmm. It starts with, do we have a real theological vision? Can we see, and can we see what God, the theological part, can we see what God has revealed about his plans and purposes for his people in the world, for his glory, for the expansion of the gospel? That's where we are.
Yeah. Well, that's very, very helpful. And
I hope so.
Yeah. And I would say that for people, you know, that have been listening to the sermons, you've been mentioning this, you've written some about it, coming to the dinners is I think that's a great practice is rehearsing that on a weekly basis of this is why I'm getting up. This is why I'm going to this group. That rehearsing will ground you and root you.
And make sure when we're rehearsing, let's make sure we're rehearsing the right vision.
Right, exactly.
Because I know a lot of people can rehearse the vision, and all it does is add to their, you know, disappointment when they're rehearsing the wrong vision.
Right, exactly.
Like, why am I doing this? Well, because, you know, they're not doing this. Why am I doing this? Because God has established this.
Right.
And said this. Mm-hmm. This is his purpose.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
And we'll be back in Isaiah on Sunday.
All right, man.
All right, thanks.